Hey, this sign is not a cue for you to be quiet. It's the name of our series we're in right now. And I really believe that our world has a quiet deficit. There's just a lack of quiet in our world. And before we get into that and continue on the series, I want to talk about a series coming up in 63 days. And it might feel weird to talk about a series that's starting in 63 days, but it's a very strategic one for us. Another deficit I think our world has is a deficit of hope. We live in a world that sometimes lacks hope, people that lack hope, marriages that lack hope, situations that feel hopeless. And so we're going to do this series, a four-week series called Living Hope, about how Jesus is our living hope and how does that enable us to be living hope each and every day. How do we live out hope in our lives in a practical way? And we're going to do something a little different. Every year at Easter, which is, by the way, 63 days away, that's when the series starts, and a lot of times pastors know that. I want you all to know that because we're not doing an Easter service this year. We're doing an Easter series. And for 4 weeks, April 21st, 27th, May 5th, and May 12th, the highest four Sundays attendance of the year for us in a row consecutively, and we want to leverage that to the best I can. Like if you look around right now, you would notice there's not a lot of empty seats. The thing is, there's more than you think because we could shift and do some things like that, but it gets challenging. And one of the things I know about human nature is the more full the room gets, the less likely we are to invite. And it's not because our friends don't need an invitation to a place where they can hear about living hope or a place where they can come and be connected and come as they are and connect to others in meaningful community. It's not that there's not a need for that, but we just, once we're good and the room's full, we just stop inviting. So we're going to, for 4 weeks, open up some space and see what also we can learn about Live Oak ourselves of how we do that. We've grown 80% since August of 2015, and that's a great thing that's happened. A lot of people have come and found a home and a connection point, but we're running out of some space, so we need to do something different. This is an experiment. We're going to get to learn something and leverage an opportunity to invite others. And so entering your program today, if you could, get this out. Even if you're not going to fill it out, I would ask you to get it out and find a pen. And on the back of the card, on the front, it kind of gives the vision. We're preparing for Easter season, not a Sunday, a season, to make the most room possible for each as many as possible, to reach as many as possible. We're going to have three services for 4 weeks in a row at 8:30, 10, and 11:30. And on the back of the card, we'd like you to tell us which of those services are you most likely to attend over that four-week period. Now, it might be different for you on Easter Sunday than the series, but if you could just kind of default for the 4 weeks, average it out, which one are you most likely to attend? If I were a speculating person, I would guess that most of the people would pick either 10 o'clock or 8:30, and 11:30 would be last. So those are the most strategic seats we could leverage, but sometimes to leverage strategic seats, we need not to ask guests to move, but we sometimes need to move. The thing is, our services right now are at 9:30 and 11, so all of us are going to move one way or the other. But I would ask as best you can, think about if you're going to attend and invite people to one service, which one are you most likely to attend? Circle that. You don't have to put your name on it. It's not a reservation. You're not buying a seat. This isn't StubHub. We won't come back and go, wait a minute. You said 10 and you're at the 8:30. We're not going to do that. It's just helping us understand kind of how this thing is playing out. Then below that, it says, if you might be willing to serve in kids ministry, might be willing, not you're not committing to anything, please provide your name and email. Someone would contact you and say, hey, there's a number of spots. We would love to have people serve to know and invest in kids or help with the logistics of kids ministry or rock babies or anything in between. There's lots of spaces. By opening up another service, kids ministry has the most number of volunteers active and engaged on a Sunday morning. And we think it's a very strategic environment. We believe the next generation is a mission field. We believe it matters. It's important. And so we want to create a great environment for them. And they do. Every Sunday, it's a great environment. If you serve in kids ministry, either Acorn Club or Treehouse Club, thank you for what you do. It matters more than you could possibly imagine. It means the world to me. We think the next generation is a mission field that matters. To do another, add another service, it means a lot more volunteers, primarily in kids ministry. So if you'd be willing to have that conversation, let us know. Now, here's what I would tell you. And if you could, write your name and email address. In a minute, I'm going to have you pass those cards to the middle. Even if you didn't fill it out, Pretend like you did. I won't even look to see if you really have a pen in your hand. Just do something that you circled with service. Only say you're willing to talk about serving in kids ministry if you're not currently, or you're willing to serve in a unique way. But in a minute, just pass it down. It will help us. We're going to do this several times just to help us understand. Because even though we're 63 days away, one of the most strategic and important environments for us on a Sunday morning is not in here. It's over there in kids ministry and over there. For people to serve in there, we're not just going to throw somebody in. We're going to onboard them well. We're going to background check if you're around kids. We're going to prepare you. We're going to let you shadow. And so to say that the night before, hey, can anyone serve in kids ministry? Would be a bad idea for the kids, for the other volunteers, for the parents, and for the and for you, the volunteer. So we're not going to do that. Kids ministry matters so much. So even though this we're talking 63 days from now, doing 4 weeks, we'd like to know now over the next couple of weeks if you're willing to do this, because St. Patrick's Day is March 17th. That Wednesday after, March 20th, is our line kind of no-go for this plan. Our plan A, that we think is our Live Oaks next step, is for 4 weeks to do 3 services. But if we don't have the volunteers, we're not going to do that. It'd be bad for the kids, the parents, the volunteers. It'd be bad for everybody. So we're only going to do that if we feel like we have the volunteer capital to invest it well. And if we don't, we'll have learned something else about Live Oak. We're just not there yet. But for 4 weeks, I think we can do this. I think we need to do this. But on March 17th, that's the last Sunday before this date comes, if we're not to that point, we'll just say, we're not there yet. And we'll do 3 services on Easter, and then 2 services the next 3 weeks. And it'll be a little crowded. We'll miss a learning opportunity, and we'll miss the opportunity to open up some seats on a very strategic series. I think a lot of us have equated hope with wishful thinking. But when the Bible speaks about hope and the impact it has on a life, it's transformational. It can change our lives. It can change the lives of our friends. It can change the world. We want to spend 4 weeks trying to leverage that well. And the idea of what does it look like to be living hope every day and to be a hope bringer to other people's lives. Our world needs hope, and so we want to leverage this well. So if you could, fill out the card, or at least pretend like you are, and then pass it down. And in future Sundays, we may do this again, and we're just trying to learn all we can. So pass them to the center, a center aisle, whichever aisle is closest, like on the inside, not the outside. So where the people or baskets are, and in just a minute, they're going to walk back and just pass them in. If you need a time to think about it, again, you're not committing to anything, but if you need time to think about it, you can drop it in an offering station at the end of the service, or there's some more of these cards at Guest Central. But please let us know. Feedback is very, very important, and we want you to be part of us helping us plan out this very strategic series. Make sense? Yes. Awesome. Thank you, both of you. All right. So back to quiet. So there are seasons of life, there are situations in life where being quiet really matters. Sometimes when you're in school, you're told, hey, if you say another word, right? Or maybe you're in school and you're like, just a little self-confession. I was in the top 10% of the bottom half of my class. And I didn't get there on accident. I got there through a lot of slacking. And however, I became a very good and astute student. I paid attention and worked hard just prior to when grades were about to come out. And I said, what do I got to do to, and it wasn't about getting an A, it was the pass. I was a terrible student growing up. Ironically, I went to grad school and got a 3.96 GPA. So, yeah, thank you. Unfortunately, you could divide by 2 sometimes, and that was my GPA when I was younger. I remember failing English 1 6 weeks, and my grandfather said, you speak English, how can you fail that? And I was a really poor student. But I listened really well right before, hey, here's what's going to be on the test. Shh, everyone be quiet. I got to hear this. I got to listen. Or if you've ever been traveling and all of a sudden, like your flight got canceled and hey, there's a few seats left on this one flight. There's a lot of people on standby. Listen to see if your name's called to see if you get on the flight. Suddenly you're trying to listen in on a very loud and busy airport, trying to hope your name's getting called out. There are certain times in life where we kind of know I've got to be quiet right now. However, Most of the time, I don't think we think it matters that much. I don't think quiet, specifically quiet listening, really matters. But in this series, what we're asking is, what if being quiet actually speaks the loudest? And what we said the very first week is, we have a God-given, he wired you this way, with a need for quiet, stillness, and solitude. Quiet is needed for a healthy soul. And then Mark last week talked about quiet is needed to hear from God. What if God speaks the loudest when I'm the quietest? So quieting our souls to hear from God is very, very important. Well, it matters also, not just our relationship with God, but our relationship with each other. Jesus said it very simple. What's the most important commandment? Love God with all you have and love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love others. Love God and love people. We put on our shirt. Boy, that was really awkward, me going like that. I'm sorry. I should have thought that through. Good night, I'm sorry. All right. Gosh, don't make it worse, Doug. What was I saying? Love God, love people. Here's the deal. If you're going to love people well, if you're going to love others as you love yourself, it will require quiet listening. It absolutely will require it. It matters. But sometimes we just don't think it really is that big of a deal. There's this guy named, let me look up his name. I don't want to get it wrong in case he's in the room. Eric Wiedenmeyer. At age 13, he has a degenerative eye disease and he goes blind. And here's what's amazing about Eric. Eric climbed Mount Everest after he was blind. As a blind man, he climbed a mountain where 90% of the climbers never make it to the top. A mountain where 165 people have died since 1953 trying to climb Mount Everest. And Eric, who's blind, makes it to the top. And he did it with the help of others. There's a lesson in that. But the other thing is he attributes it to he did it because he listened well. The climbers in front of him that were part of his party had a bell on the back of their backpack so it would make noise so he would know the direction to go. Well, that may be great at the mall or on campus, but you're on a mountain. He couldn't just do it with a bell on the guy in front of him. The other thing is he had people calling out instructions. Hey, 2 feet to your right and it's a death fall. All right, note to self, don't go 2 feet to the right. I bet he listened well to their instructions. He also, this is the amazing thing, and Mark Porter, actually, the executive pastor, he was up here during the welcome. He heard this guy speak. And this guy climbed not just, it wasn't like a little trail with cutbacks going up Mount Everest. That doesn't exist. There were these, what do you call, ice faces or, thank you, he's just going like that. Ice faces. There are these sheer ice cliff things. Technical term, just trust me. And this guy, Eric, he would use his pickaxe, like the way you've seen blind people use a cane for navigating. He was using it that way. Oh, that ice is no good. I can't do that. Like he's listening well to the sound of ice and he's going up these sheer ice faces. He's blind and he climbs Mount Everest because he knew not listening well would cost him, not just getting to the top of the mountain, it could cost him his life. Most of us will not climb Mount Everest. The lesson there is not, hey, listen well if you're climbing Mount Everest. We have something more important to navigate. God created us to connect meaningfully to each other. And if we don't listen well, those relationships will fall. They'll die. They'll wither. And the connection will be meaningless. You were created for connection with others. And the thing I want you to know today is quiet listening is needed to love others well. It's needed to hear, but quiet listening is needed to love others well, to connect and respond. There's a difference between hearing and listening. Hearing is if you have ears that are functioning and healthy, it's just there's a sound and you hear it. I'm sorry if I woke a few people up there, but like there's a sound and you just, it doesn't take anything to hear except ears that can hear. But to listen requires attention and intentionality. It means I'm going to focus my eyes, my ears, my body, my mind. I'm going to do everything I can to tune in to really listen to what is happening. The Bible has a lot to say about the importance of listening. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says this. It says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. One of those activities is there's a time to be silent. And there's a time to speak. Now, by and large, I think most of us would think speaking is always in season. Silent, oh, that's just one of those occasional things. What if it's interesting that they lead with silence and they put it next to speaking. And so it's almost this idea that hearing is implied and listening. More importantly, listening is implied. But there are other verses where it's more than just implied, it's flat out said. The book of Proverbs says this, Proverbs 18:13, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. How guilty are we of running those stop signs? Of I should be stopping and listening to what you're saying, but I'm already thinking about what I'm going to say next. Or I'm thinking about something totally random. It's folly and shame to answer before listening. He goes on, another proverb says this, Proverbs chapter 17. The one who has knowledge, so if you have knowledge, if you're a wise person, uses words with restraint. You hold back what you have to say. And whoever has understanding is even tempered. And then if you ever want to sound like a smart person in a meeting, here's the tip. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent and discerning if they hold their tongues. Next time you're in a meeting, a group project, or you're in a conversation, if you want to seem wise, be wise, look like you're wise, don't talk. How many times have I tipped my hand that I'm not that wise because I open my mouth? Just be quiet. And the tip here is not image management. There's something to said about it's wise if you just listen. As a matter of fact, the Bible even equates wisdom and listening kind of as going parallel and needed for each other. Proverbs 19:20. Listen to advice and accept discipline. And if you do that, at the end, you'll be counted among the wise. If you want to be wise, however wise you are right now, if you want to grow in wisdom, listen to advice and accept discipline. How well do you do that? How well when someone says, hey, would you like some advice? Internally, you're saying, nah. What if you just said, I'm interested. I'm listening. And then that second part, listen to advice and accept discipline. Well, I'll listen if it's to my benefit, my perceived benefit. But if it's discipline, if it's correction, I don't always listen to those unless the level of pain in my life is high enough. But if you do those things, if you listen well, in the end, you'll be counted among the wise. Just depends who you're listening to, right? Proverbs 12:15, the way of fools seems right to them. Like, you can be foolish and go, it just feels right. Feeling right does not make it wise. Feeling like it's right does not make it right. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. How much does that verse describe you? Are you on a path toward wisdom? Proverbs 19:27, stop listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from words of knowledge. You may be a wise person right now, but if you cut off listening to wise people, the right people, and listening to God, you will wander from that place of strength. If you want to cut down on sin and kind of those bad choices in your life, Proverbs 10:19 says this, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. If you want to cut down on bad choices, talk less, smile more. I'm just kidding. If anyone know what that's from? Talk less, smile more. Yeah. Well, inside shout out. Sorry. What was I saying? I just shouldn't do that. Sin is not ended by, if you want to make fewer bad choices, if you want to minimize bad choices, stop talking. But it's not just stop talking, it's start listening. And think about who am I listening to? And are you in a posture where you can receive wisdom? Proverbs 18:2 says this, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but they delight in airing their own opinions. If your voice is the most trusted voice in your life, you probably have a problem. Pause. Listen. Seek understanding. You know, Jesus was the ultimate listener. He still is. But if you read the Gospels about how he interacted with people, it was amazing. One night, this guy named Nicodemus came up to him, and he came to him at night, because this guy was a religious leader and had a position of religious authority, and he had some questions. He was interested in what Jesus was saying. He wasn't there. Sometimes people were there to try and catch Jesus in a trap or to prove him wrong or to say, hey, get in your place. We're the religious leaders. You're not. But Nicodemus was different, and he came to Jesus with some honest questions. And it models something for us, that being quiet listening, that Jesus values that. And he listened to Nicodemus and he asked these questions. And Jesus listened and responded. Sometimes he responded to people who had the exact same office and leadership role that Nicodemus said. And he said, you're a bunch of hypocrites, or you're blind. And he would just kind of tell them, you guys are wrong. But Nicodemus, he said, what else you got? And he kept talking, had a meaningful conversation with Nicodemus. Jesus was a great listener. One day Jesus went for water at a well at a time of day where most people wouldn't be there, but there was this one woman there. And it's pretty clear that Jesus went there intentionally to connect with her. And she was taken back the fact that a Jewish man was talking to her, a Samaritan woman, and because it was culturally inappropriate. No one did that. And she was kind of an outcast because of choices she's made in life. Probably some choices have been made about her and for her in life. And she's kind of, over here. And Jesus has this conversation where he's asking questions. And he's listening. And he's speaking with her in a way that esteems and values and draws her closer to himself, into a closer relationship with God. One day, a guy who had an amazing resume came up to Jesus. And Jesus knew from the start, this guy is looking for a loophole. He's looking for a way where he can just, Jesus would say, hey, you're good. Just do whatever, you're good. This guy had been pretty good, but Jesus saw that in his heart, he loved himself and his stuff and his money more than anything, including God. So Jesus listened patiently. And it says that his heart went out to him. He smiled, he cared for him. But he cared for him enough to speak some very hard truth. And he said, hey, there's one thing you need to do. Go sell it all. And the guy walks away sad because he couldn't let go of what had gotten a hold of him. But Jesus listened. And he listened and he spoke some hard truth. But he listened to every question as he patiently heard this guy probably trying to say, yeah, but what about this? Trying to find the loopholes. One time there was a woman who was caught in a very unfortunate situation. She was being publicly humiliated. And Jesus drew the attention from her to himself. And then he listened to her and had valuable connection with her. And he challenged her. He said, go and don't do that anymore. But she was heard. Because more than being heard, she was seen. That's what quiet listening does. It doesn't hear. It listens. And it sees. And it values. And Jesus was so good at it. One day there are these kids that kind of snuck at the head of the line. And they're crowding around Jesus. And the disciples had another agenda. So they're trying to shoo the kids away. And Jesus said, no, let the children come to me, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Like, it's theirs. They matter to God. They should matter to us. That's why we place such a high value on the next generation in our church, because Jesus placed such a high value on the next generation. And here's Jesus, this important teacher that's drawing crowds. But when the kids come, he wants to hear what they have to say, and he wants to interact and value them. Jesus is the ultimate listener, and he still is. Then James, who was Jesus' brother, wrote a book of the Bible called James. And James is talking about how this idea of quiet listening plays out in our life. And as you hear this, I want you to think about, how does this work in your life? Like, how well do you do this? He says this in James chapter 1. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Almost as if he's saying, you're probably not going to listen to this, ironically. You probably think this doesn't apply to you. So I want to ask you to apply this to yourself. Like, take note of this. How do I do at listening versus speaking? Which one gets more? Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. I think for me, and a lot of times just sociological observation of life, I think people tend to flip those. They're quick to speak and slow to listen. But no, if you're quick to listen and slow to speak, he actually says there might be a benefit, but it's also an action you need to take, slow to become angry. And he goes on to say, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. But there's this idea of being quick to listen and slow to speak. Imagine there was a scoreboard or a counter. You know, you have something that counts your steps. What if there was something that counted your words? At the end of the day, are you quick to listen and slow to speak? Are you slow to listen and quick to speak? Imagine you're in a conversation, whoever you talk with the most in life, whoever your deepest connection is, imagine if there's a scoreboard over each of your head of how many words are used. Are you running up the score? Or are you being quick to listen? Because the secret for any relationship is if you're going to have a deep connection, it's going to require quiet listening. We need to be quick to listen, to quiet ourselves, and slow to speak, to control the speed. Well, think about some of the things that might keep you from that. What keeps you from quietly listening to others? It could be just business. I've got things I got to do, and I'm thinking about what's next. It could be distractions. As you can tell, I get easily distracted. So I'm having a conversation, and there's five things going on in my head. The phrase I use to describe it sometimes is, in my mind, it feels like banana time in the monkey house at the zoo. Like just things going everywhere in my head. That's how it feels a lot of times. And so trying to have a meaningful conversation where I quiet myself is not easy. Sometimes it's just, I have an agenda. I know what I need to say to you. Please stop talking so I can say it. It could be a lack of humility. It could be pride. It could be selfishness or just a lack of interest. But whatever it is, figure out what are the enemies of quiet listening in your life, because quiet listening is needed to love others well. And if Jesus says the most important thing is to love God with everything you have and love your neighbor as you love yourself, that will require listening. Quiet listening. And quiet listening means I'm focusing on the other person, what they're saying, and I'm doing that with my eyes, eye contact, my ears as I listen, my body, the body language, my mind, my memory. Have you ever told something to somebody, hey, how are you doing? And you told them what you're going through. And then a week later, they came back and said, hey, how's that going? How did that make you feel? To be remembered, for someone to follow up, to listen and to remember and to have recall and response. That means there's been true connection. You know, the Bible's full of these verses with this one statement called one another. It's a Greek word, allelon, one another. It's in the Bible 100 times in the New Testament. And it's usually in anywhere between 30 to 40 different expressions. Some of them are kind of weird, like greet one another with a holy kiss. Let's not do that. It's like it's a different day, it's a different age, different culture. We don't need to do that. Some of them are just real practical about something like that, but most of them are very, very specific, painfully specific. Here's one example. Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. If you're a follower of Jesus, he's called you and invited you and made it possible for you to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. You're not free to focus on you and your selfish desires. Rather, here's what he set you free to do. Serve, and there's the Greek word, allelon, one another, humbly in love. There's all these verses like that about serve one another humbly in love. Teach one another, encourage one another, forgive one another, love one another. And they fall in all these categories, and there ends up being about 30 or 40 different ones that if you try and think, how do I do all those one another's with each other? It gets really complicated. We found a way to kind of simplify it, because really, a lot of them are saying the same thing over and over and over again, almost as if we're not listening. Here's our tool we created. We took all the one another statements, and we said if we could frame every moment, every conversation and action with these four words, this would help you one another well. Love one another, have unity with one another, be humble toward one another, and build each other up. And really, if you look at all the one another's, they fall in these four buckets. One third of the one another's in the New Testament are actually love each other, love one another. That's a third of them. And then a bunch of them have to do with the idea of unity, that the way we one another should bring us together, and we should have unity, not uniformity, but unity. And then a bunch of them have to talk about the idea of having humility. Paul talked about that a lot in Philippians 2, about how you serve one another, think about one another, value one another, love each other as you love yourself. There's all these things about humility. And then a bunch of them actually talk about teach one another, encourage one another, that are the idea of building each other up with what we do and say. So I was thinking about this and thinking about the idea of quiet listening. And really, if you want to one another well, in whatever your tribe is, whatever your squad is, whatever your family, your group, our church, whatever it is, if there's a group of people that want to know one another well, and life works really well when we're one anothering well, how does quiet listening factor into that? Well, think about this. If we're going to love one another, it's going to require listening. Because listening communicates that you matter. It lets me know how I can care for you. It communicates to you that it matters. You know, isn't it interesting that body language is a form of communication? Body language, like how we carry ourselves with each other, communicates something to each other. So if you want to love one another well, it's going to require quiet listening. A guy named Paul Tillich says that the first duty of love is to listen. If you want to go love your neighbor as you love yourself this week, go listen. Don't talk, but listen. Then it talks about this category of humility. How can I be humble if I'm talking over you? How can I practice humility if I think what I say is more important than what you say? Quiet listening is necessary to practice humility in my relationships. And that's one of the key building blocks of relationships is humility. Then this idea of unity. If we want to have unity, quite honest, we just got to stop talking sometimes. We're going to talk more about that next week, but sometimes the way we talk to each other and about each other is tearing ourselves, our relationships apart. Friendships, families, businesses, schools, countries, everything. The way we handle, the way we speak to each other does not promote unity. But quiet listening might. Because I'm going to actually seek to understand without thinking about how am I going to respond. But I just say, tell me, I want to understand. There's something about humility and unity and love. And then there's that other category of building each other up. If I truly want to look at you and think, what is God doing in your life and how can I help build you up to be the person God created you to be, that will require quiet listening of saying, I want to understand who you are and what God's doing so the best way I could serve you and build you up. Quiet listening is needed to love others well. I read this great quote this week from a girl named, someone named Carol Lawrence. I don't know her. Carol Lawrence. It says this, people will rarely remember your advice, but they will remember that you listened. People will rarely remember your advice, but they will remember that you listened. So let me ask you this. At the end of this week, who's going to remember that you listened? Who's going to remember that you talked less and you listened more? You gave eye contact. You listened to understand that you loved them well by quietly listening. Quiet listening is needed to love others well. And it's not just about what it does to the other person. It's what it does to you. This last weekend, I took my kids down to Schulenburg, Texas. I adopted my kids 6 years ago. They'd never met my great aunt that lives there. She turns 99 next month. And she was like, almost like a grandmother at times growing up. I had two grandmothers, but she was like a third. And she was just so wonderful. And so I wanted them to meet her. But over the last couple, several years, her husband died, my uncle and my great uncle, and then she had to move out of her house into an assisted living place, but she's remarkably healthy. Even though she had polio as a kid and lost really the use of one of her knees, it's not going to get better. She's really, really healthy. But it got to the point where she needed to move into a nursing home, and she did a couple weeks ago. So I thought, she's kind of low. I thought, I'm going to take my kids to meet her. I'd love to see her. So we go down, and as we're going down, driving down there, I realized nursing homes can be pretty intimidating for kids. Like, I had a really rough experience in a nursing home when I was a kid. I remember just walking down this hallway and this person grabbing my arm and kind of shouting and not letting me go. And it's one of the reasons, if you've ever been in the hospital, probably I haven't come to visit you. Like, I've just gotten, it scarred me for life. I wanted to prepare my kids for this. And so as we got there, and my kids are not the poster children for quiet. They're not. And so I was trying to prepare them for this. They'd never met and anyway, this environment. And so I said, hey, when we go there, if you ever lock eyes with somebody, if you make eye contact with somebody, I don't want you to look away. I want you to smile. I want you to say, hi, how are you? And then keep looking at them until they answer and then respond however it's appropriate. And you don't have to have a long conversation and then just move on. So I kind of prepared them for that as best I could and wasn't sure if they were listening or not. And they weren't. Didn't look like they were practicing quiet listening, but I'm doing my best to coach him through this. We get in there. Sure enough, we walk right in the door, and this wheelchair wheels right in front of us. And this person just looks startled looking up at us. And I was a bit taken back by it. And I looked down at my kids thinking, hey, I was in kind of sit motion, hey, I've got this. And one of my kids goes, hi, how are you? and starts looking at him. I'm like, huh, look at that. You were listening. And the person responded, hey, I'm fine, or I'm okay. They said something like that. I said, well, that's good. Are you having a good day? And I watched this person's whole countenance just change. And then I watched as they did that throughout the day, as we went to the nursing home and the cafeteria and in my great aunt's room, how they interact with people really, really well. And what I saw is it changed the people around them. Your attention and quiet listening to someone this week could change so much. But the great thing I've learned about quiet listening is when I do it well, it changes me. It helps still myself. It helps me have meaningful connection with others. It helps me be a part of God wanting to communicate to others. You matter to God because I know you can know that because you matter to me right now. I'm here on his behalf to quietly listen, pay attention to you. And so I want to challenge you this week. Who is that going to be? Who is going to remember that you listened, that you quietly listened, that you quietly listened and loved well, and you paid attention to them and communicated the value they have, not just to you, but to their Heavenly Father? Let's stand for closing prayer. God, thanks that you listen well. It's why we pray, because we believe that you listen well. And when we see examples of Jesus interacting with people, we can see that you interacted with people in a way that listened and noticed and valued people. Help us to be conduits of that this week, not just to mimic it, but to really understand that you notice us and listen to us, and then we would just pass that on to others. God, I pray you'd help us have deep connections this week as we quietly listen for the purpose of loving others well. And I pray it would express love. I pray it would come from a posture of humility. I pray it would build unity and it would build others up. Use us to do that in our world this week because we live in a world that needs all of those things. Help us to be people that express that through quiet listening. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you'd like to talk, I'll be down here at the front.